It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This is Bob Siegel, but I'm not alone. Here with me in the studio, not on the phone from Texas, so this time he doesn't have to talk about how he misses Mexican food in San Diego, Jim Barrier himself, and always good to have Steve Hesselbeck, mutual friend of Jim Barrier and myself, person who's been in the media for many, many years. Steve, welcome back to our program.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, Jim, what do you guys have for us tonight?
Man, the world's coming to an end. I think about that line. Was it Bill, Saturday Night Live guy? Anyways,
Bill Murray?
Yeah. Bill Murray?
Bill Murray. Dogs and cats are sleeping together.
But well, now it would be dogs are identifying as cats.
I'm okay with. No, but this whole, man, this Fox fallout. And not to, we don't want to harass another network or anything, but there's crazy stuff.
Well, if they're compromising, we don't want to say a lot of kind things about them either.
Oh, don't sugarcoat it, Bob. So when it really hit was when Tucker Carlson left. Whether he was fired, resigned, we'll talk about all of that, but they had a mutual parting of the ways.
Yeah, sure they did. Speaking of this mutual parting of the ways, anybody that listened to our show last week, and Jim was on the air with me by phone.
Yep.
I had mentioned that Dan Bongino had just left Fox News, and I said in passing, I'm surprised Tucker is still there, and I wonder how much longer he will remain. I got the news the very next morning that he had left.
Sir, I perceive that thou art not a prophet.
Well, like I always say, a trained chimpanzee could make these predictions because they're pretty obvious.
Yeah, I remember that. But it's kind of been a domino thing that's been going. There have been a number of people that have left.
Lou Dobbs left right after the election.
Yeah. But this one, you know, one, Tucker, I don't know if there's anybody more popular than him.
He's the number one show on Fox. He was the number one cable news show, period. But we were talking about this before the show. I think the powers that be these days don't care about making money, and they don't care about ratings. They care that they can go into a bar and have their liberal friends pat them on the back and give them a high five.
Yeah. Yeah.
They care about their ideology.
Yeah. And I talked to Steve about it, and he's way more knowledgeable about media stuff than I am. And I said, man, why don't you come on a show and let's just share ideas and stuff. But we're still kind of in the wake of this thing. It was
only a few days ago.
Yeah. So,
My understanding was that his Monday show was all ready to go. And I kind of heard an inside report from somebody who knows Tucker.
Yeah, I know that guy.
Somebody who knows somebody else, that it was a dispute. I know we're hearing all kinds of things about the Dominion machines and some kind of sexual harassment lawsuit. But apparently it was, according to this source, it was about censorship of the specific show Tucker was going to do a week ago, Monday night.
And nobody knows.
That's what I've heard. That makes more sense to me.
You know, if Fox News is going to start censoring people because of something that's offensive or politically incorrect, we're in deep kimchi.
Well, and even some of their other conservative hosts, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and even for a while, Tucker, I should say, they went dark about the election right after the election. But in the last month or so, Tucker was starting to talk about it again.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that he was talking about the January 6th stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were promised we were going to see a lot more footage. All of a sudden, he stopped talking about that.
Yeah.
So somebody back there is tapping him on the shoulder saying this has to stop.
Yeah.
And apparently he'd had enough of it and told them to take a hike.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was the Murdoch thing. Steve, you give me some of your feelings about what you think might be happening.
Well, it's no secret that even though Murdoch is, you know, he's the one who originally brought us a conservative television station or a cable outlet to begin with. But they in themselves are not necessarily conservative people.
But if there's a market, there's...
there's a market. So
even Rupert Murdoch, the dad, is not that conservative?
Not at all.
Oh, I hadn't realized that.
But
he was smart enough to know when he's making a good buck.
He's a very smart man. You hear and read stories that the sons are taking more and more control. Mm-hmm. He's not a young man anymore. And they're even less in the conservative field than his dad. So we don't know. There's so much swirling around. There's rumors that they want to ultimately get rid of Fox or change it into something else. So, but the tapping on the shoulder that you mentioned, Bob, is absolutely what's been going on behind the scenes. That Dominion lawsuit, you know, that's $750 million that they settled with. That's not chump change. Now, that may come out of insurance. We don't know how that was paid, but that's got to hurt.
And the talking points we always hear about that is it was debunked in court. Excuse me, folks. It wasn't allowed to go to court.
Right.
That's the real story.
Yeah, it was settled. So there's a lot swirling around. It makes me wonder what's going to happen to the other more popular hosts. You know, the Five is one of their number one shows that they have. Is that going to go away? Or
And Greg Gutfeld, funny as he is, he doesn't
need
hold
Fox.
Back. Yeah, yeah, he doesn't hold back either. And who knows what's going to happen with him next?
Yeah, I think we're at one of those critical mass points.
I can see it right now. Fox News fires Greg Gutfeld, hires Jimmy Kimmel. I can just see it.
You know, I'm a pacifist, but I might come over and slap you. Oh, my goodness.
Gutfeld's show has better ratings than all the late night shows.
Yeah, he's the king of late night right now.
He's funnier than heck.
He's got a bizarre sense of humor. There's never been anybody quite like him.
Yeah, and I remember he was just doing little spots on the sports thing, on Wide World of Sports or whatever show it was. But, you know, it's no secret, it shouldn't be a secret, that in the world of media, particularly the entertainment world, and to some degree what we're doing is kind of entertainment. It's news, but...
Well, it's entertaining when we're on the air.
Of course it is.
Well said.
It is predominantly left-wing. That's why I don't want to watch award shows anymore. I don't want to hear them get up and...
It's just Trump sucks, Trump sucks, Trump sucks. That's the whole award show.
But a lot of entertainment in the sports world, pardon me, Lakers fans, but I'm sick to death of LeBron. Have been for a while. And in the movies, in TV, on the radio, it's very left-leaning. My wife, who you both know, years ago said, you know, I think the phrase in the Bible is the prince and the power of the airwaves.
Good.
And so there's been nothing new about that, but Fox has kind of been like the last bastion on a big scale. There's some other,
Fox,
there's Newsmax.
Conservative talk radio and the internet. That's been the new media.
Yeah. To me, it's a concerning thing. Now, I'm not going to end on a negative note, but I'm going to wait till we come to the right time to throw my bomb out there. But it is a shakeup, and I think for people that lean conservative, that still have some of the traditional values, the moral majority, whoever they were, I never met them, but you know, all those people that don't espouse all this left-wing stuff, we're having a hard time finding a voice to represent those people.
Now, Steve, you may know the answer to this being a media guy. Sean Hannity's radio show, I don't believe that is owned by Fox, is it? If he got into a dispute with Fox and had to leave, he could continue his radio show, couldn't he?
I'm trying to remember what's...
Because I don't remember ever hearing the word Fox when I've heard Sean on the radio.
Yeah, it's not.
And I have wondered at times why he... But probably his arrangement for Fox is that up to now he can't really say anything on the radio that he wouldn't have been able to say on Fox. But if he were to leave Fox, that would start to change.
Sean Hannity's show is owned by iHeartMedia currently.
Oh, okay.
iHeart.
Oh, all right.
There you go.
I'm on iHeart.
Yeah, we all are here.
Aren't we all?
Yeah. Steve, do you want to be on iHeart?
Yeah. Get the hell out of here. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, man, did he say that? Is he going to bleep himself?
I don't know. Does that get through the FCC?
As long as we're on K-Praise, that was what I was told for that part.
I do a show on K-Praise also. I'm just glad that's not the one I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. So what I was also going to mention, too, is that Tucker Carlson makes $35 million for his TV show, and then Fox has the rights to his podcast as well, which is an extra $6 million
on
top of
that. So he can't just go on with the podcast.
Right? Correct. Now, so for him specifically, Tucker Carlson's podcast, he's going to have to either make a new one, or I don't know if it's inside his contract.
Maybe he can go to iHeart.
Possibly.
There's a happy home here for you, Tucker.
I'm just assuming, based on his name recognition, there might be some issues on that contract, and so iHeartRadio would have to buy out the rights from Fox News to say, hey, we're going to take Tucker Carlson's name rights so we can make our own podcast and be nationally syndicated.
It's just abominable. First, they've got to censor him by getting rid of him, and then they've got to make sure he can't speak anywhere else.
I've got a proposal. How many of you people, Brandon included, know who Robert Zimmerman is?
I'm not familiar with
Robert. The name's slightly ringing a bell, but I think I'm confusing him with some movie director.
From Hibbing, Manitoba. You know him as Bob Dylan.
Oh.
That's right.
His name is Robert Zimmerman.
I would not have known that was his real name.
Get a pseudonym, man. Mark Twain, right?
Yeah.
Just change make up a fake name, and what are they going to do?
Sucker Tarleson. Nobody will ever recognize that. Sucker Tarleson tonight.
That's funny.
So there are options now, and I'd like to kind of throw this out to you guys, because there have been a lot of them, you know, they've been bailing out or being fired or whatever, and we mentioned before the show, what if some billionaire, Elon, or somebody that has money that knows there's a market for conservative.
Yeah, and Elon Musk doesn't seem to be any staunch conservative. But
no,
he
but
does,
he knows he's
he
business.
Knows a market, and he doesn't like censorship. And right now, that's good enough for me.
So someone of that nature, just start a whole new network. Why not?
Well, another aspect you have to think about is streaming has exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And it's being defragmented because everybody's starting their own platforms.
Yeah.
Well, our house, for example, we have not watched regular television in something like 5 years.
Yeah, me too.
So whatever the entity, Elon or some other outfit, I honestly feel it'll be a streaming platform.
Why not? You
know, makes the most sense. That's the only place where he's going to be able to just speak with impunity and not get yanked off the air.
Right.
And I've been a KCBQ fan since I was a teenager, but things are going that way. But there's got to be some option. I think something's going
to
happen.
Well, the option is to do both a broadcast and a podcast and just keep your foot in both doors. That's the option that I would choose if I were in that situation.
But something's got to give.
Okay. Well, what's got to give right now is give to a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Show, 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, with a little talk, a little humor, and some beautiful and some rockin' music to take you through your Sunday evening. Say hello again to Jim Barrier and Steve Hasselbeck.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, thanks for being so obedient to the talking points, gentlemen. So we were talking about Fox News, Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Guys that don't know what's going on with that, but we're going to tell you what we think is going on anyway, because what kind of talking heads would we be if we didn't do that?
Exactly. Well, you're the pro. I'm a guest.
Oh, the old faded humility.
I'm going to get out of this anyway I can.
That's like the guy that says, I'm not a good singer before he gets up to sing, so that everyone will go, oh, well, you know, that really wasn't all that bad.
But
so,
my point during the break is how many of us sit and watch news anymore? I mean,
I do not.
I aggregate my own news from sites that I want to read.
Right.
The whole idea of, I mean, I saw this hilarious Babylon Bee spoof.
I love the Babylon Bee.
They were showing this elderly woman holding a remote control and shaking. It said millions of baby boomers were contacting their kids to help them program their TV because they can't watch Fox anymore.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's genius. Yeah, I love the Bee.
I've met the editor of the Babylon Bee.
Oh, nice. Have you had him on the show yet?
He's offered to come on as a guest. We just haven't gotten it set up.
I'm giving you a word from God, Bob.
It's a
good idea.
Well, and one of our prestigious rotating co-hosts, Mike Friedenberg, who used to write for National Review, now writes for the Epoch Times, which I think is becoming the premier conservative publication.
Okay. I can't keep up, but I know this. Just for instance, when I was at a church here locally in San Diego many moons ago, there was a woman who in her lifetime, she was alive when the Wright brothers took their first flight, and she was alive when the first guys landed on the moon. This is how fast.
Well, Joe Biden was there for both of those things because he did both of those things.
Corn Pop will attest to that.
Yeah, I'm trying to be serious. And What was I thinking?
He didn't really do that. He only signed the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. But in that perspective, one lifetime went from the first flight to landing on the moon. And then when the digital age started happening, things have just gone off the chart. And things are changing so fast that put in the hottest iron in the fire and pull it out, get on the fastest horse and ride whatever platform there is. And there is. There's so much free stuff now that people can do. I joke about it. I do a podcast. Now, I get a lot of help from Ryan and those guys. But a few years ago, I'd have thought, I don't know how to do a podcast. There are always new medium coming out, and so if Fox, I'm sad. They don't even go to their website anymore.
If Fox wants to fold, I'd be happy to deliver a lovely eulogy at their funeral. A lovely eulogy.
Oh, yeah, I believe you. I'll tune in.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about the technological rise and the knowledge is just unlimited. But what we don't see in this generation is wisdom to go with the knowledge. So with all our knowledge and our abilities to practically do anything, we will go down in history if Western civilization even survives enough to have accurate history. We will go down in history as the stupidest, most idiotic generation that ever lived. We can't even define what a woman is anymore. And yet we have all these technological wonders. It's pathetic.
At the risk of getting censored here, I can define what a woman is. I know one when I see one still.
Just follow the science. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, follow the science.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
That's a joke.
These are the same people that were lecturing us about following the science, and now they're telling us they can't even define what a woman is.
You know, they've got all kinds of dilemmas. Okay, now they're going to do another lunar landing and do a launch, and one of the astronauts is a woman. And I thought, and they're saying, this is great, the first woman to land on the moon. No, don't assume gender.
Yeah, they're not going to be allowed to say that.
You know.
And if somebody else wants to claim, I think I'm just going to claim that I identify with those astronauts, and I identify as one of the people that landed on the moon. Who could tell me today that I'm wrong without contradicting today's narrative?
I can, because I was there.
You could, because you actually use your brains.
Well, I identify as Bob Siegel. Now what are you going to do, huh? I'm you. No, okay, we're getting silly here. And I just did a podcast, and it was about the loss of reality and truth and trying to get back to that. There, I still believe in absolute truths, and I still believe in the Bible, Bob.
Well, and in the Bible, we have the story of the Tower of Babel, which carefully parallels what we're seeing with our rise in technology void of wisdom.
There are certain things that we have to hold on to and say, I'm not going to compromise. You can take this mic out of my hand and pull my cold, dead finger off of it. You're a voice. There are voices, but Fox was the biggest one nationally. or worldwide maybe.
And it was beating the heck out of the other networks with the ratings.
3-1
Wow. And I think
notice I said heck just in case you ever want to cut a
Thank
KPRZ version of this.
Hey, you can't fire me, so I'll swear all I want, dog. Right. On it. I don't even go to their website anymore. I've gotten so tired. It's become like the Inquirer. You know, half the stuff they do in there has nothing to do with news or anything. So I kind of was already getting off the Fox bandwagon, but this stuff here is like...
I've lost respect for them since 2020 when they started abandoning the whole thing with the election.
So not to bash other networks, because we here at Salem Broadcasting still hold to the truth. but it's kind of a sign of the times. But there has to be the voice crying in the wilderness, and whatever means you can find to be a voice. And that's why I'm back to, I would love to see somebody with a whole lot of money, or someone that could fund a new, whether it's a radio station or it's an online thing or some sort of, you know, streaming is really, everything's going that way. But there needs to be a place that's accessible to people so that the truth can be out there. It sounds like X-Files. And that people have access to it. Most people now can get online. If they don't own a computer, they can go to the library. So that's fairly accessible.
They can. A lot of people just won't because they're not of that generation.
I can do it on my phone. You know, when I came here now, when I travel, I used to bring a laptop and then I went to an iPad. Now I just bring my phone because my phone will do everything.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to wear reading glasses. But there has to be a way to keep the truth out there. So I'm getting darker and darker here and more despairing. I promise, folks, we're going to end on a positive note.
Speak for yourself, Jim.
Oh, but it just it seems bizarre. When I started back with the thing about the Wright brothers and landing on the moon, technology has just gone off the charts. It just skyrockets. And who knows what will be out there in a couple of months that we never heard of.
And it's dangerous for people without wisdom to have that kind of ability. Have you heard about the latest stuff in artificial intelligence? Steve could probably talk.
Oh, man.
This is pretty dangerous stuff. And this is something Elon Musk is trying to warn people
about,
even though he's been
while.
One of the pioneers with it.
Well, I think it's frightening. And probably most of us, most Americans, are clueless about what's going on. Steve told me a story a couple of years ago about Musk was a keynote speaker up there, and they can hook up two computers, they start talking to each other, and overnight they've created a language that the human beings can't crack.
It's much more efficient.
Yeah.
You had to unplug them.
Well, they used to say, well, at least you can't find a computer that'll write music or write stories or paint pictures, and now they'll do that.
Not true. Now, I'm old. I'm older than either one of you guys, and it started with me. Actually, it goes way back to Metropolis, Fritz Lang, but the biggie was 2001 and HAL.
Yeah.
Which, if you know your alphabet, HAL are the letters
there,
before IBM.
Dave.
HAL, IBM. Anyway, and HAL, you know, has this thing and becomes self-aware. And then there's self-preservation. And then we had Terminator.
I'll be back.
And it was fun, entertaining stuff. And then The Matrix. And we have all of these things where the computers really are a threat. Now, that sounds like, you know, I'm being reactionary or something. But
it really is becoming that.
Yeah.
I was at NAB last week. I try to go there when I can. And there's new technologies coming out that are going to make what we do and how we ingest media very, very different in the future. And you'll be able to basically select what you want to watch even on your own TV. The efficiency of some of these new algorithms, NDI, Dante, AV, they allow very efficient streams over the internet in very compressed packets that make them efficient and very low latency, I may add. That's been around for a little while, but they are now developing standards that people can adhere to, and you will be able to turn on your TV and select which you're watching a football game, for instance. You'll be able to select the camera that you want to watch.
Yeah.
If you don't like a particular announcer, you can select another announcer and watch your game. You can design the program the way you want to watch it, and it'll all filter down through internet.
Yeah. They just have to find a way to make it affordable and make a profit.
Right.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show with Jim Barrier and Steve Hesselbeck.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Looking for a book you won't be able to put down? Push the Winds Around is a romance set in the context of science fiction. Dr. Brandon Krieger is given the opportunity of a lifetime, a psychologist's dream. Through the usage of his physics professor friend's time machine, Brandon travels 20 years back through time in an attempt to change one man's destiny. Tom Kyle, a convicted and unremorseful murderer, is located in the past when he was a 6-year-old boy. Brandon's mission? To alter Tom Kyle's path and prevent him from being a vicious killer. Matters are complicated when Brandon finds himself falling in love with young Tom's mother. Push the Winds Around, a novel by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. And this is the moment you wait for with bated breath. Time for yet another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
I think that was the people on the left applauding that Tucker Carlson left Fox News, probably. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. Anyways, first off, Jim, glad to see you in person. I wanted to say that.
Likewise.
Didn't get a chance.
Igualmente, as we see in the barrio.
Thank you. I got a tough one for you. So I decided to do a Christmas song.
What?
From 1956 to...
Oh, no, that's not fair.
I've heard of Christmas in July parties, but not Christmas in April.
I had to, and it was for a very special occasion. So, are you ready, Jim?
Ready as I can be.
All right, so here we go.
Long time ago in Bethlehem.
Yes, I think I have it.
Okay.
So the Holy Bible.
Would that be Harry Belafonte?
That's correct. Can you guess the song?
And okay.
Mary's boy child.
That he just said the words.
Yes, he did. Yes. Okay.
I'm impressed with myself tonight.
Hark now, hear the angels sing. A new
king passed away.
Born today.
That's right.
Now, was that the occasion that Harry Belafonte had just passed away?
That's correct.
Why we're hearing Christmas in April.
If he did day-o, that would have been a dead giveaway.
Yeah. He passed away on April 25th. He was 96 years old.
Wow.
One of the very first times I personally, besides his music, obviously, I watched The World, The Flesh, and The Devil back in 1959. That was an amazing sci-fi film if you have never seen it. It was about, I think, a nuclear bomb hits New York City, and there's only 3 people alive left.
Yeah.
And it was very controversial because
giant ants came out or something.
No, this is different. I know the movie.
It's all just human nature and how we can actually deal with the fact that there's nobody around us. We're secluded and alone in this world that's completely vanished, full of other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, science fiction gets a bad rap because science fiction writers do some very penetrating studies of human nature.
Yeah,
and what was the conflict that went on then, Brandon? I know this is good.
Well, the main conflict was about the woman and the guy were sort of, well, the guy was trying to be in a relationship with the woman, but the woman wasn't wanting to be in that person's relationship. Or I think she just wanted answers to find her family members during the film, if I remember right. It's been a while since I've seen it.
But there were only three people alive, so she only had one other choice.
Exactly.
That's where the conflict came in.
And it was very controversial, too, because Harry Belafonte, as you know, is a colored person. In 1959, having your lead actor and actually the hero of your film be that is very, very controversial.
Movie was way ahead
of
its
time. Showing some guts back when people in Hollywood had guts.
Yes, who had the better genes to pass on?
Well, in those days, it was pretty much just Levi's or...
Jordache.
But I thought it was an amazing film.
Great memory.
Yes, thank you so much. And again, our prayers go out to Harold Belafonte.
It was a great one. Mm-hmm. You know, Brennan, you're just too young to know some of this stuff. That's what scares me. So I don't know.
He's not unlike a young Jim Barrier.
I will say I had to do a 5-page report about the movie and its importance on society back in college. I think out of all the films I watched all that year, which include Jaws, I remember Boys in the Hood was another one I had to watch. I thought that one actually spoke to me the loudest compared to all the other films I had to watch that year.
I'd probably have to agree with you on all of that.
I had to watch the classic Magnificent Seven as well.
I just watched that.
That was a good one. The remake of the Seven Samurai.
Yeah, I know.
The music, Elmer Bernstein.
Thank you very much.
Speaking of human behavior, when did The Lord of the Flies come out? What year was that?
If I had to get, but that's
that was
the 50s,
the early
right?
60s. Oh, 60s. Yeah, because maybe 50s, but
we had to read the book in high school. Yeah. So, yeah, there was some great stuff. There were so many great books back then that were kind of doomsday things. I read a lot of those, and so it kind of helped shape my cynicism.
I still remember when the Planet of the Apes movies were popular.
Oh, yeah.
And remember the Hollywood Squares?
Yeah.
The game show. And Paul Lynde used to always be the center square.
It was hilarious.
And I remember they came up, they said, Paul, first we had Planet of the Apes, then Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, and Conquest of the Planet of the Apes. Now at last we have the fifth and final saga. What is this one called? And he said, Sick of the Planet of the Apes. I never forgot that one.
Sick of it.
Yeah, he was funny guy. I love all this nostalgia trivia stuff because I'm an old guy, and I like that stuff.
And because of what's going on in the media, it's about all we've got left.
Yeah, bring it. Yeah, let's bring it back to that. That was a good segue attempt, kind of. Yeah, that was good. So where were we? Where did we leave off? We were talking about new platforms, technology. Where are we going to get the conservative voice out if the radio stations and networks refuse?
And again, so far that has not been a problem with the Salem Network, so we're very happy to be a part of them.
That's why I'm happy to be in this room.
Where did I read they were trying to no longer install AM radios in modern vehicles?
Yeah, they're trying to get rid of AM radio in general.
Oh, boy.
And so that's why
there's an agenda behind that, since that's the home of most talk radio.
I'm assuming. So, and then on top of that, you have all these internet search platforms that are bearing down your conservative
search AM list. Radio was almost dead, and Rush Limbaugh almost single-handedly brought it back.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I mean, he literally was the savior of, I would not only just say AM radio, but I would also, but specifically conservative talk radio for sure. Because at that time, it was a lot of progressive talk. All of a sudden, conservative ratings went through the roof and progressives just sunk down to the bottom, basically.
In terms none of us would be here if not for Rush.
But we've got an FM station. That's
the other alternative. We do now have here on Salem. I guess Salem's been looking ahead, and they've been smart enough to have an FM and AM variety. Yeah.
So, but something.
But then again, this dovetails into technology.
Yeah.
I never listen to the radio anymore. When I get in my car and my phone connects Bluetooth, I have an app. I can listen to any radio station I feel like.
Yeah. With the exception of the Bob Siegel Show here on KCBQ.
Yes. That just went without saying.
I have not listened to the radio since the first iPod came out.
Really?
Because I listen to music. So that's why we always have the stump quiz thing there. I mean, there's 6,000 songs in this phone. There's no point in listening to a music show on the radio because I don't want commercials and I don't want
to... Yeah, why not listen to the things that you personally
select?
But that's your own mix.
I never fast forward.
The future of... The technology, we're talking about where's our voice and where's this going? The future is you will choose your voice. You will choose where it's going.
And that kind of appeals to me, but the masses need access. And you can go to the library and get on their computer down there and go online, you know,
Well, and I still have a library of DVDs at home, and a lot of people say, well, you don't need that anymore. You can stream. That's not exactly true. There are a lot of times I'll try to find my favorite movie on a stream, and it's just not available. Now, it may be available on one of 10 other stations, not all of which I'm subscribed to. So hold on to your DVDs, folks, because I don't want everything dependent on the internet, especially with all the censorship going on with those who control the internet.
I still have a box with VHS stuff, and Steve was talking about he's got, and you probably did reel-to-reel and all kinds
all of
Weren't those hauled over to your house with your Tyrannosaurus Rex as the horse, Jim?
Or I still have some vinyl. I have some vinyl.
Hey, vinyl has made a comeback.
I will say I own a huge collection of vinyl. And Dave,
I loved vinyl records. Yeah,
Dave Stahl, your host prior to Bob Siegel Show, he's offered me so many different vinyl records now just today because I was mentioning I missed Record Store Day this past Tuesday. So they have huge sales on different classic
vinyl records. Were something special. They'd have all this information and pictures. Yeah, it was different than just getting a little CD.
Before we skip the record, define a huge collection, Brandon.
Okay, to be fair, it's not that big compared to most others. Okay, if I had to guess,
big compared to anything Barrier owns, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to throw a random number, and I'm going to say I have 50. I'm going to have 50 records.
Barrier's
right now.
Probably got 500.
I get it. But compared to the rest of my generation, I have to say, I think I have a
compared to your generation, if you had three, it would be a big collection.
700. Try 700.
700. Wow, that was close.
I think our son has you beat. He's got.
Is he nuts?
Yeah, he's totally into vinyl.
Tell him I'm proud of him.
And he's got a massive collection.
Well, we just used the whole segment there, didn't we?
Well, we kind of opened it with music. We'll close it out with music. All right. Okay. We will, however, be back for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Now you're listening to West Side Story, the version before Spielberg got his greamy, grimy gopher mitts. Actually, his version was not as bad as I thought it might have been. I will at least say that. Say hello again to Jim Barrier and Steve Hesselbeck.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
Doing all right.
Okay, so we're talking about Tucker's exodus, the whole Fox exodus, and the stuff that's going on. And there's all the theories about Murdochs and about money. You know, the bottom line is everybody wants to make money. But I have just something I want to throw out there, because this is what I do sometimes on this show. And I want to look at the spiritual aspect of it. It says very clearly that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. And it seems like all the time we're battling the almighty dollar or the impotent president or whoever. There is a spiritual thing going on. And I think particularly when Tucker started taking on some of the abuses of children and these things that are just horrific to me, that they're actually doing this stuff and justifying it, I think it rattled some cages in high places.
Yeah, I don't think The View was ready to sign Tucker up as a regular after any of that.
Wouldn't that be fun, though, just for one episode?
There were some memes about that. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but seriously, I think I've always felt this, that our real battle is with spiritual entities. And I know not everybody that listens to this show may buy into that or subscribe to that thinking, but I believe that for everything in our tangible, visible world, the five senses perceive, I think there is something going on in the invisible realm. And I suspect that there's some of that activity that's taking place in all of this. That's just my theory.
Well, as Christians, we absolutely know that that's true. That is what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There's so much going on, is what I tell myself every morning. There's so much going on all at once.
Yeah.
You say the almighty dollar, that'll be digital currency very soon, my friend.
Oh, yeah. And you remember our pastor, George Gregg, out there at Faith Chapel. He used to talk about that there would be a cashless society, and it was laughable. Mm-hmm. But we're headed that way.
And a controlling government loves a cashless society.
You bet. Yeah.
Hey, who told you could buy meat? We're just going to freeze all your digital cash.
Yeah.
Who told you could purchase gasoline?
And I do this now because it's so darn convenient. I went to Starbucks this morning.
Used your phone?
And I used my phone. I have my credit cards now. I just have to lay it on there.
Boom.
And it reads the chip. And all of that is so darn convenient. And so it's making it easier.
It is convenient, but it's a double-edged sword as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, look at gun control just as an argument. They can't get legislation through. It keeps getting shot down because, thankfully, we have a constitution. But in a digital currency world, it could easily shut you off from buying bullets for those guns.
Come on down to Texas, brother. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. It's not totally relevant to the show, but since you brought that up, when that Antifa thing broke and there were all these demonstrations of burning down stuff, a bunch of them went down to the Alamo in the city I live in, San Antonio, and they were going to go down there. And they were greeted by a line of Texans that had their rifles and shotguns, and it was the shortest demonstration in history. They just, I'm sorry, wrong address.
Gotta go.
Was Beto O'Dork among them?
You know, he's the Lino, the Latino in name only.
That's Irish Latino to you, buddy.
The Bino.
Exactly.
He's the Bino, the brain in name only.
I'll tell you, though, the church that I pastored all those years was right down in the middle of everything, and he had signs in every yard, and it bothered me that he could even get that much support. Soros, you know, I can't believe that. Now I guess I can, because look at the doofus we've got in the White House. And then it's frightening to think if something happened to Joe.
Who's
if come on,
we get Giggles as vice president.
So
we're here because we're here, and I like to say we're here to particularly appreciate the fact that we're here, you're here, I'm here, we're all here.
I hear you.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, it's kind of hitting levels that we never thought were imaginable. We've had some goofy people in power, but it's crazy.
We've never had such a complete moron in the White House as we've had now.
And it makes you wonder, is he really calling
neither
the shots,
have we had anybody as morally bankrupt as him.
Yeah. So here we're back to, and this has been my punchline many, many times on this show, and I tried to introduce that with the thought that, you know, we're wrestling with spiritual principalities and powers of darkness, and so the only real solution, the only weapon, the only hope I have anymore is a genuine spiritual renewal, revival, if you want to call it that. There needs to be not just, I mean, we can legislate, we can march, do all of that stuff. I vote every time there's an election, but we need to pray that something happens, that the blinders come off, that there is, okay, I'm going to say this, the following views are not necessarily those of Bob Siegel, KCBQ, or the Salem Broadcasting Network. We have to have revival, and if it takes judgment on this nation, if it takes a collapse that brings people to their knees, and they cry out, oh my God, what have we done?
Well, just since you gave that little disclaimer, when Jim talks about judgment, he's not talking about the way a Muslim extremist would, where they are going to use a jihad to bring about the judgment. Jim's just talking about what God in his sovereignty might allow without having anything to do.
And here's what God has done historically through the Bible. He uses the ecology, so famines, earthquakes, things like that. He uses the economy, total economic collapse. And last resort, he will use an invasion of enemies abroad.
Or he might let some moron get into the White House, perhaps.
That will open the door
just
to those
things. Just thinking off the top of my head.
But I'm just saying, if that's what it takes, Lord God Almighty, do whatever you have to do to bring this people back to a place of reckoning. Just read the history of Israel. And I hate to say stuff like that because it sounds negative, but you know what? Whatever it takes to get this nation to turn back to God, because there was a time when the majority of the people were interested in honoring God. We've talked about that. The founding fathers.
And even if they weren't born-again Christians, they at least had a moral sense and a sense of right and wrong.
So whatever it takes to get us back to that, and I shudder because I have children, grandchildren, and now a great-grandson, but I'd rather see God's hand bring us back than to see what I shudder when I think about what my grandchildren are going to grow up in.
I pray every day that my grandchildren will be delivered from social engineering.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at on the thing. I always turn prophet.
Now, you said you were going to end on a high, note, Jim. Where's this high note?
Waiting for it.
I believe that we are so ripe for revival. Go see the movie Jesus Revolution, and we are like that to the 10th power right now, the way the country was then. We are ripe for revival. That's my hope, and I believe it can happen.
It would be good to see another revolution like that.
Amen. Okay.
We did a review of that movie a few weeks ago, by the way. Wonderful movie. Jim and I were completely in concurrent on that.
Yeah. We just saw it the other day, and it was much better than I thought. Much better.
We were talking about that. Christian films have a tendency to be cheesy.
Right. And
paint with broad brushes, and the non-Christians are the bad guys, and the Christians are the good. I liked how they showed the complications of the Christians. And
they
showed Lonnie Frisbee derail and things that you wouldn't expect to see in a Christian movie. So there was a lot of honesty that I really did like.
Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Yes. All right. Well, that was a good, happy ending, Jim. And both of you, Steve and Jim, it's always an honor to have both of you gentlemen in the studio. As for me, I may be in here by myself next week, but I will still see you next week. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.